Your conference is being recorded.
All right. Hi, everybody. Thank you for your patience as we got everything together. This is Jill Jopelson. I'm calling from Mill Creek Capital Advisors, and we thank you for joining our call today. It is Monday, March 9th, and we've had an interesting few days in the markets. Given all the recent volatility, we thought it made sense to have a call to have a time for Tom and our investment strategy team to talk about what they're seeing happening and their thoughts on things that are going on in the market. We thank you all for your questions. We have tried to integrate them into the presentation today, and hopefully we will address all of the questions that are on your mind. I am at this point going to turn it over to Tom Chapin, our Chief Investment Officer, to take it away from here. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, and welcome, everybody. If you've been on these calls before, I just want to say what's different about this call. One is that I am standing in front of our long conference table with about 12 pieces of paper in front of me, hoping that I have all the information I need to address what's going on in the markets and talk to you about what is happening. And so at the risk of some cultural appropriation, the Chinese proverb is, may you live in interesting times. And while it's tempting to blame all this on China and the coronavirus, there's more going on than just that. But clearly, that's been a lot of the root of what's going on in capital markets, really since early February. So my objective today, the primary objective for me, is to neither be an alarmist or a Pollyanna. Anybody familiar with the children's book of that name or the 1960s movie? A Pollyanna is somebody who finds reason to be glad in almost every situation, no matter how bleak it might be. And so things have been looking a little bleak, I guess, in capital markets. And I'd give an elevator speech, right? An elevator speech is trying to make the most relevant points in as short order. The elevator speech, I guess, would be that the spread of the coronavirus and reactions to it have completely upended many of the assumptions that went into predicting near-term economic trends going into 2020. And that's a whole set of unknowns that have led to an extreme volatility of capital market prices. And I think, as everybody would know and conclude and say, what I would say, that it's really impossible to predict at this point the societal, economic, and capital market outcomes of the coronavirus crisis. But clearly, you can sort of you paint the picture, and we see this here, and I'm sure many of you see it in your personal lives and your business lives, that that efforts to sort of curtail the spread of the virus, whether it be, you know, traveling less as a business or as an individual, and just sort of curtailing your plans so as to avoid potential exposure and avoid community spread, there are economic repercussions of that, right? That people are canceling conferences, they're not traveling, it's having tremendous impact on certain industries. So, we think that begets somewhat of a negative reinforcement loop that we don't really know the full impact of that. And I'll get into that shortly in terms of economic predictions. I'm making this a very long elevator speech, I guess. So, yeah, see, I guess the short elevator speech was a lot of unknown unknowns. We came into the year thinking that we'd have some good economic growth globally, that the pace of economic growth would pick up, given having put sort of the China tariff wars behind us. But starting in mid-February, those assumptions have started to be turned on their head. What are the issues beyond the coronavirus? We had over the weekend, I guess, the most precipitating impact on the markets today, or one of the precipitating impacts on the markets today, was negotiations, the OPEC Plus, or the negotiations between Saudi Arabia and Russia towards the end of last week, where the oil-producing nations were reacting to falling demand for oil and thinking how they could support oil prices. Saudi Arabia was leading the way and hoping they could curtail production. And then Russia, as you probably read and aware, said that they wanted to push up production, wanted to keep revenues flowing. And that has resulted in a huge sell-off of oil prices over the weekend and into today. And that has concerned markets as well as the coronavirus. The U.S. economy, again, no particular order here, sorry, but, you know, we went into 2020 in a position of strength. The U.S. economy grew at about 2.3% last year. That was down from 2018, but nonetheless, we're in, you know, into the 11th year of an economic expansion, and we were feeling generally pretty good about the economy. The 3.5% unemployment rate that had been sustained for some period of time was the best rate in, since 1969. Consumers were very confident and not particularly overextended it to our way of thinking, versus, say, the 2006, 2007, 2008 period when we had the tremendous real estate bull market. We had a lot of consumers going into quite a lot of debt and getting really out over their skis. We're saving only 4% of their incomes back in 2006, and today saving about 8% of their income. So going into the year with a much better and stronger U.S. economy that now, you know, people are somewhat questioning. So what could be the repercussions arising out of these macro issues like the coronavirus? The good news would be, I guess, that the recent Chinese experience is replicated, that the pace of new cases slows, the death rate slows down. And does this turn into a short-term phenomenon, one quarter of time across which the world worries about the spread of the virus and sort of sticks close to home and doesn't spend as much money? There are any number of firms, as you might imagine and might be reading, that are making predictions about what could happen to the economy. One of the sources that we look at is a firm called Capital Economics. I'll single them out just because they're one good source that we have, not that they are particularly expert. In fact, they would say it's really somewhat informed estimates, somewhat informed guesses at this point as to what could happen. They say, let's say we have sort of a moderate outbreak of coronavirus that lasts really no more than a quarter, in which case the greatest impact would be on sectors like air transportation, hotels, arts and entertainment, restaurants, anywhere from a 10 to a 40% negative impact on these industries and their revenues and their profits. But collectively, that's only about 5% of the economy. So work that through. If it's a one-quarter impact, they think that would be an 80 basis point impact or so on first quarter growth, 20% impact, 20 basis point impact on overall economic growth in 2020. So hopefully, sort of in their ideal, sort of a moderate outbreak situation, this is something that doesn't persist into the balance of this year, and we get somewhat of a U-shaped recovery coming out of that. Their more pessimistic scenario would be a sustained outbreak where more and more people are infected, the death rate remains somewhat elevated versus traditional flu, in which case they see that the outbreak spills over into not beyond transportation, hotels, discretionary spending, into retail trade, into automobiles, into manufacturing as it disrupts global supply chains. And in that particular case, they would forecast a 3% impact on U.S. GDP, so that would turn 2% growth into a recession. And again, they would say, we would say, I think most people would say, so hard to know at this point, that would seem to be a pessimistic outlook, and perhaps a moderate outbreak is a more realistic expectation at this point in time. Again, the other big factor that we've seen here is oil prices. I heard one forecast on Bloomberg radio driving into work today, somebody saying we've sold off from mid-60s a barrel to in the $30 per barrel. This particular observer, who was an expert, quote-unquote expert, in the oil industry, said they thought it was more likely we go to $3 a barrel and then back to 60. I think, again, we're at hyperbole time here with capital market forecasts. But again, total uncertainty. At what point do the major producers, Russia, Saudi Arabia, do prices get too low for their political purposes and their economic purposes? Anecdotally or not anecdotally, right? One of the reasons behind Russia's supposed decision to keep supplies up and not worry about prices is a way to curtail shale production in this country. Which they've been concerned about because we became energy independent, and they would like not to see that in the future. So tremendous uncertainty with oil prices presently. And lastly, tremendous uncertainty with interest rates. We're now at record all-time record lows in terms of U.S. interest rates. The Fed, as you know, lowered interest rates, its target interest rates, by 50 basis points last week. There's some expectation that when they meet again in March, they will cut rates further. We've got all-time record lows on Treasury yields. The 10-year Treasury hit, I think, roughly 55 basis points today. It started the year at a yield of 1.92%. Part of that, or a large part of that yield decline, is flight to safety, investors pulling their money out of equity markets and putting into Treasury bonds, and that's pushed up prices in those markets. So I'm going on and on, well beyond really what I hope to say, other than I guess the takeaway would be a lot of uncertainties with respect to global economies, and that has resulted in a pickup, extreme pickup in volatility of equity market prices and prices in other asset classes. What else? Is there anything to be done presently here? We're getting, I guess, questions from clients. Many clients are, what do we do now here with our equity portfolios? Hopefully, if we've done our jobs correctly in working with you to diversify your portfolios, that going into the downturn, you had positioned your portfolio to take as much risk as was appropriate to your personal circumstances. Are you not able to sleep at night with markets coming off their highs here? We would say, we've always said that any money you need in, across the next 12 to 24 months, you should never have at risk in the markets. And so if you need to reassess your positions now, given what the market has done, we're happy to work with you and discuss with you the pros and cons of taking money out here from where you should take money out. Or many investors are saying, is now the time to buy. So just to recap on equity market valuations, as prices reached an all-time high in mid-February, the U.S. stock market was valued at roughly 19.5 times forward earnings estimates. Net of today's sell-off, we're down to a PE of about 16 times earnings. And that is close to what we consider long-term fair valuation. It's also roughly the median price-to-earnings ratio that markets have traded in across the last 25 to 30 years. So that's the good news is that's a more decent price at which to buy into the markets. That said, markets always tend to overshoot fair value, whether it's to the upside or the downside. If you recall, the Christmas Eve of 2018, the collapse of market prices in similar fashion to what we're seeing today in the fall of 2018 that accelerated in December of 2018, that pushed valuations down to a low of 14.5 times earnings. So I'm not saying that that's what we get to, but we certainly have the potential to go still lower and to go even further back to the Great Recession, where we had the tumbling of markets from 2008 through early 2009, we got to a low of about 11.2 times earnings back when there was considerably more risks to, we think, to the financial system than we have presently. What other questions have we taken from Circuit Breaker? So you may have heard today at the beginning, going into the futures market was down quite a bit overnight as markets opened up elsewhere in the world. A number of years ago in the United States, the New York Stock Exchange set circuit breaker rules designed to curb trading that got out of hand. And those rules were that if you've got the market tumbling 7%, the so-called level one threshold, they would stop trading for 15 minutes to let some semblance of sanity restore itself in the market. That did happen today. The markets shut down immediately after opening for that requisite 15 minutes and opened thereafter. Just so you know, the other levels, if you're not familiar with it, if the market were to tank to 13%, they would shut the markets again for another 15 minutes. And if you ever got to a down 20% in a given day, the market would close and then not reopen to the following day. So we got that first circuit breaker today. That helped. We got a little volatility throughout the day, but nonetheless, we did finish on the S&P 500 down about 7.6%. What else? So equity markets under tremendous pressure caused by uncertainty with respect to the economy. I did not touch on corporate earnings. We have yet to see the market collectively reassess its estimate of earnings for the current year. You'll recall from our past writings and past conversations that earnings, excuse me, for all of 2019 were roughly in total unchanged from 2018. The market was going into this year expecting further gains of anywhere from 10 to 12% on the S&P for earnings gains. Those forecasts are still out there. The consensus earnings estimates take a while to adjust, and in fairness, I guess, to street analysts, there's not yet enough data to really be able to make accurate predictions. You have a lot of companies, particularly airlines, and the industries most affected by declines in spending, pulling back guidance, saying we don't really know what's happening here, so we're not going to provide guidance to the street. So I think the real risk here is that that earnings estimates get trimmed from here. I say that's a risk. I mean, maybe not a risk. That might be overstating it. I think an eventuality will be that the street will pull back and reduce its earnings estimates. But, the market prices often move in advance of earnings changes. And so even if we get some further decrease, if we get decreases to earnings from here, that won't necessarily mean further sharp corrections in prices. Otherwise, let's see, what else are we seeing going on? If you think about safe havens, we've talked about the bond market, the taxable bond market. Through Friday, I haven't seen results today. I expect it will probably be up again, but through Friday, the taxable bond market was up about 5.7% year-to-date. Tax-exempt muni markets up about 2.4%. So certainly portfolios that are diversified and hold bonds in addition to stocks have not felt the full brunt of the decline of the equity market. What else is going on in markets? Gold, which has traditionally been a safe haven, has appreciated year-to-date about a little over 10%. But a lot of that gain took place earlier in the year. It's been up a little over 1% or so since the whole downturn in the market began. Seeing weakness in other commodities as well, particularly copper, which tends to be economically sensitive, has come down in price. Somewhat surprisingly, on the currency front, where the dollar has often been a safe harbor in periods of market turmoil, in part because of the decline of U.S. interest rates versus the rest of the world. The dollar has not been as strong as we might have expected. It's actually about 9% weaker versus the Japanese yen, which is another safe haven currency, the Swiss franc, up about 6%, and the euro actually trading higher versus the dollar as well. So what else? In downturns like this, the temptation is to say what sectors are performing better than others. You do tend to get most markets correlating, fully correlating. So indiscriminate selling across sectors, certainly some subsectors like airlines, like energy, have fared more poorly than growth stocks. Another question came in about from clients on mortgage refinancings. With interest rates coming down dramatically, is now the time to refinance? We've seen not a whole lot of decline in mortgage rates as yet, and anecdotally we're hearing that the banks are not somewhat overloaded with requests to refinance, and it may take some time for them to get through and process paperwork. So certainly rates are low; they could move lower here. They are traditionally a little bit sticky, that they move down more slowly than do interest rates at large. Stickiness question two had come up with respect to oil prices. Will lower oil prices translate into lower gasoline prices? Won't that be a good thing for the economy? Yes, it should be, but gasoline prices too, as we know from past experience, tend to be a little stickier than crude oil prices. They move gasoline prices down much more slowly than oil prices, and so that would be a positive for the U.S. consumer. I guess sort of the fundamental unknown that I keep coming back to is whether it's lower gasoline prices, whether it's lower Fed funds rates, whether it's lower mortgage rates. None of that gets consumers out of their sort of I'm going to lay low for a little while until this coronavirus issue blows over, and then I'll get back to my normal ways. And if that happens sooner rather than later, we'll look back on this and go, boy, you know, that was a tempest in the teapot, and the world has moved on. Is it more, you know, if it's sustained and trims the rate of economic growth that much more, then we've got another set of issues. Can Fed policy get us out of this? Can moving rates down that much further sort of stimulate the economy, or can government fiscal stimulus, putting money into the economy, help? Yes, it can help, but I guess what I was trying to say just somewhat inarticulately 30 seconds ago is it's so much more of an emotional reaction at this point that's unpredictable in terms of its length and breadth and depth, that all of this will help, but nothing will help quite as much as us collectively feeling that the virus itself is petering out. Its mortality, its morbidity rates are not high, and we can go on and live our lives, and the economy will move on and prosper for another period of time. So a lot to throw at you, and so what we wanted to do today was just give you some of our current thoughts. We will obviously be keeping on top of all these issues, thinking about them maybe a little bit more cohesively and coherently than I've expressed here. And we would come back to, look, you know, these are very turbulent times in the markets with prices as variable and as volatile as they've been. Sometimes getting trade execution in markets that aren't as liquid as we'd like them to be can be difficult, and so being patient is probably the best course of action here, and not reacting per se to the sharp volatility that we are seeing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tom. That's a lot of information in a little bit of time. We encourage everyone who's listening to this call, if you have further questions, to feel free to reach out to your investment officer or contact us directly. And we wish you a good rest of the week and some quiet in the market and health to everyone. Thank you all.